You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
One? Where's zero? Okay. One. You brat. Let me know when we're at zero. All right. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host today, Lance White, and today my guest is George Kavassalis, who returns to do the second of three shows. In 2003, George was to have an experience that changed everything. His galactic family visited and picked him up and took him to a large ship situated closer to the Sirius star system. They facilitated an experience which saw George take a journey with his conscious spirit up through the dimensions of our universe, and he got to rediscover what life here in this universe is all about. He was able to once again know who we all are and where we come from and where we are headed. He makes a distinction between the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Council of Light as his true family, which is not the same as the group calling themselves the Galactic Federation of Light. Having exposed the distortions fed him from the Galactic Federation of Light in 2004, he is here to reveal the deception and lies being imposed upon humanity from behind the scenes to empower people from within, which allows us to better make decisions during this time of the Great Change. When I first saw and heard George in an interview, I knew that he was authentic and could help us comprehend the vast cosmic drama which is unfolding today. This is the second of three shows, and I will, without further ado, welcome George to the show now. Hi, George. How are you today?
Very well, thanks, Lance. Hi, mate. Thank you very much for inviting me back on.
My pleasure to talk with you. You know, to me, you have so many pieces of the vast cosmic jigsaw puzzle that so many of us are scratching our heads, puzzling about. So it's really an honor and a pleasure to talk with you at any time.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, now, in our first show, we covered a great deal of cosmic territory, so people can listen to that if they like. And, of course, you have many wonderful DVDs. The one that I have been listening to is the one you did in Australia at the Equinox, and that's a four DVD set, which is just spectacular. And, of course, there are many interviews on your website, which is... I don't have it written down. Would you tell us right now what your website is so that we can start out?
Sure. It's our-journey-home.com or our-journey-home.com.
Great. Now, we could do a couple of different things. We can do George Unplugged and let you just kind of see where Spirit takes you. Or we can go to specific questions if you like. And one of the things that I would like to address during this interview today at some point is your mentioning of the Earth journey and the changes, the drastic changes that are coming before 2013. And one of the things that we can talk about is how the crust is going to collapse towards the center and go inside out. Now, a lot of people will be alarmed about this because we all have certain bodily fears which go back maybe to previous incarnations when there were disasters. And, of course, there is the inclination to self-preserve. So that is a possibility to talk about the dramatic changes that are coming to us as the evolution of the Earth comes about.
Yeah, well, that actual process, we won't be around to see that because we'll be in a different frequency. So that will be the process of the much lower vibratory energies. Whether it does actually happen that way or not still remain to be seen. That's the way I understand it's going to take place. Whether I'm looking at a potentiality or I'm looking at the realistic timeline, I have to be real and honest about that and bring clarity to the situation. And because I'm exploring my journey and my understandings and interpretations constantly, I'm always analysing. So I won't just say something and that'll be set in stone. And I want to defend it because my ego needs to. I'll always look at things and I'll be open for flexibility and movement within my concepts and ideas and understanding. So the way I still understand that is that if, let me put it this way, if you look out at the natural environment, I just cannot see how our Earth Mother wants to continue to have that vibration on her body, on her planetary body. I can't see that. I can't feel that. That energy will continue.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to me that she would want a natural environment that's completely barbaric, that everything is killing everything in order to survive.
Yeah.
So for me, that has to be transmuted as well. Now, how she literally, physically, mechanically goes about it, what the actual physical process of removing that, it's kind of like when a bird is born, like a chicken hatches from an egg. If you look at what's in the middle of the earth, it's a female version of our sun. So you've got the feminine Christ Sophia energy, which is in the center of our planet. And what we have around on the outside of that is the hard crust. It's the shell of the egg. It's the outer crust of the egg. And it's also the lower ego, the lower egoic personality of our divine Earth Mother, of the divine feminine. And so the very vibration of the existence of that crust, that foundation, that vibrational foundation that the natural environment is existing on, to me, is not an energetic match with where we're headed and where Mother Earth is headed. It's what are her intentions as a planetary being, a planetary body, what is she intending to become in the very near future, and what are we intending to become as a race living on her planetary body. So whatever we do will be in sync with what she does, because if you look throughout the cosmos, the only races that are not moving and evolving in synchronicity, in a symbiotic relationship with their planetary bodies, are ones who are using technology and are disassociating themselves from the path and the growth and the intentions of that planetary body. Now, I'm not disassociating myself from my Earth Mother. I'm actually synchronizing myself more and more with her all the time. I'm rekindling that forgotten relationship. So the more I bond with my Earth Mother, the more I get to know her, the more I get to remember, is the right word, the more I get to remember what I'm actually doing here, the more I get to remember what we as a race, the collective human soul, what are we doing here and what we wanted to do together as a collective human soul with our Earth Mother. And so when you look at this breakaway civilizations, there's more than one. So there's one at the moment that's very highly technologically advanced and has broken away behind the scenes. And then you have this other one that's on the surface of the planet that we can see in the public arena, which is also based on technology and very low vibratory expressions and manifestations, which are not in sync with the planet, which actually are hurting the planet. They aren't taking this journey with her. And then there's a whole range of people such as yourself, Lance, and myself, and many, many others who are awakening and going through the process of reestablishing a conscious, aware connection with their Earth Mother and realize that, hang on a minute, we actually came here to become light. So when our Earth Mother wants to become light, she needs to shed all the lower egoic energies of her earthly personality, like we as individuals need to shed our lower egoic personalities, because we're moving into a higher vibration, and the higher vibrations cannot facilitate those old ways, those old patterns, those vibratory patterns which are more desire driven, more instinctive driven, you know. And if you look at the natural kingdom, it has been set up the way it was set up to facilitate our existence here. So it facilitated us being consumers, in a consumeristic way of being, because when you look at nature, the whole thing is consumeristic. Everything consumes everything in order to survive. So it's been symbiotic, but now we're getting to the point where that has served its purpose. We're coming to the end of that era, and we're coming to the end of that epoch, and therefore it's served its purpose. It is no longer required. It's no longer required by us, and it's no longer required by our Earth Mother. So that has to be transmuted in one way or another. Now, how that's going to happen, I've put forward one way that it's going to happen. It could happen in another way. And I'm open to suggestions. At this point in time, I just see that from the perspective of the lower domains, of the beings that will remain behind and not transform into this higher state, when they look back at the earth, that is what they were going to see. They were going to eventually see the crust imploding into the center of the earth and the earth becoming a star, because she's turning inside out, because that's what we're doing. We're turning inside out. And so we are moving into this higher frequency of light, and so is our Earth Mother. So I was just trying to explain or bring about an explanation of the physical processes that our Earth Mother will probably and possibly go through in order to shed her lower ego. You know, I was trying to explain how she'd go about through the process of getting rid of that natural environment and the crust.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And, of course, it's possible that you know, each expression or fragmentation has its own particular journey, but it does seem like you're suggesting that there has to be some kind of some kind of transcendence of the symbiotic nature that has been, you know, this dog-eat-dog kind of thing, bacteria-eating flesh and so on and so forth. And as you know and you brought forth, that technology has been exploited through various black operations and scientific research to the point that there's enough to kill everybody here many, many, many times over. And it seems that this whole planet has been converted into kind of a living Death Star, in a sense, that's being weaponized and militarized. So that all has to be integrated and transmuted, it would seem. Or not.
It does need to be transmuted. It really does. It needs to be. It either has to be transmuted or it needs to be removed from this earthly domain. She is going about changing her frequency. So anything that doesn't match with the new frequencies that are coming in, then her new frequencies are going to become detrimental to anything else that wants to continue to function in a way other than the direction that she's heading.
Now, is it accurate or is it reasonable to think that these frequencies are being transmitted from the various cores, from the core of the sun, for instance, to the core of the galaxy and the core of the central galaxies? That the Creator is impulsing directly?
Absolutely. That's exactly what's taking place.
Okay.
And the 2012 alignment is exactly that, is the alignment not only somewhat physically but mostly energetically with the core of the galaxy. It's an energetic alignment. It's a It's a conscious alignment. So we have, when a mother gives birth to a child, there's a massive, in the beginning of the birthing process, mm-hmm. as the process is beginning, there's a massive surge of blood and nutrients that go down that umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the serpent robe, to me, when I draw back on my life I had in Palenque and what we understood the serpent rope to be then, is that the serpent rope is an umbilical cord. It's what connects us to the center of the galaxy. And that energetic stream, that river of life, is now having massive surges of energy because it's coming to the solar system and then to this planetary body, because this planetary body is giving birth. So the galactic mother is sending massive amounts of blood and nutrients in the form of energy down that umbilical cord to the core of the sun and then to the core of her earthly planetary body, because it's the same consciousness. And she's going through the process of giving birth to a whole new race in mm-hmm. in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's what's taking place.
Now, you might have referred to this as homo luminous. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we're becoming homo luminous from homo sapien.
Right,
because
right.
To me, homo sapior means earth rotten. And it has different meanings for different people.
Yeah.
But when you put those two words together, it makes sense that if we remain with the lower animal consciousness only of the raw animal Homo sapien, and we don't evolve into human, which means a godly being of godly mind,
mm-hmm.
Then we will turn this earth rotten. And the words homos means earth and sapio means rotten. And what we are becoming is homo illuminous. So becoming the earth is becoming illuminated, and we are of the earth. So we're all becoming illuminated.
Yep, right, right. Now, that the creator would also be in this process with us, right? Because that's part of the evolution of the creator's journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's who the sun is and that's who the earth is. The Creator has manifested itself as this galaxy, as the Andromedan galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. So you've got the masculine aspect manifesting itself. Because now we're taking into consideration this, what's known as the divine plan of creation or the road to compression.
And
right. So what the Creator did was, because the way the Creator functions is, if you look, put yourself in the shoes of being a Creator, would you just create an arena, a reality, and just let other beings go in there and sort it out for themselves? Or are you actually going to get down and experience everything within that? Sure, you experience it through everything. That's granted. But are you going to get down there and experience it just like every other being experiences your creation? So I need to preface this next section of the conversation with that concept, because a lot of people have different ideas about the Creator, how the Creator works, and I'm really trying to get away from this word God.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because that word is just so overused.
Right.
And it's got too many connotations on it. So if you look at yourself as being from the point of view of being the creator of a universe, how do you go about behaving as a creator? So the point I'm trying to make is that the way this creator functions, and I'd like to think that's the way I would function as a creator,
mm-hmm.
is that everything that I facilitate for every experience for any being to have within my universal creation, then I would go about experiencing it down there to the same degree and the same extent with every being in every level of my creation, and not sit there all high and mighty and just point the finger, that I would get down and dirty with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are, I see us as all being equal. So that's the creator that I know. I know that
right.
the creator behaves like that. So we've manifested ourselves as galaxies, then so has the creator. We've manifested ourselves as stars, so has the creator. We've manifested ourselves as planets, so has the creator. To think that the creator only does it through us is quite small-minded, you know. It really is. It's not a complete understanding of the actual creative process. And so once we had created all these sparse galaxies and we reached maximum expansion, we needed to create a pathway back to reintegrate everything. And the Creator took responsibility and facilitated this process personally. So the masculine expression of the Creator, Universal Creator, manifested itself as the Andromedan Galaxy, and the feminine aspect manifested herself as the Milky Way Galaxy. And we call it the Milky Way because it's not just because it's white, it's because it's the nurturing of the mother's milk. It's a galactic womb we've entered inside. And what they have done is they created a microcosm of the macrocosm. So to reintegrate all our fragmented aspects, we need to create a more compressed arena of reality. So what they've done is you take a galaxy from out there and you create a fractal of that galaxy. Everything that's ever been, everything that's ever said or done or experienced within that galactic paradigm, you compress it, and you compress it down into the form of a star system. You then take that star system and you place it inside this galactic worm. And then you take another galaxy and you do the same. And another one and you do the same. So every single star system in this galaxy is a fractal of a galaxy. And that's how we have created this road to compression. And I say we because you and I, Lance, and many, many on this planet have had a participatory process in manifesting this. So the Creator doesn't just do it by itself. It's an inclusive process. So we learn and co-create along the way. So there's many beings that have been helping and managing this process as well. And therefore, we've all come into this galaxy, and then from the galaxy, certain star systems were used to transmute certain archetypal energetic patterns. And then from there, we came to this solar system. And so, and then from the star system, it was then compressed down into one planet. So you can see we've been on this road to compression, and that explains why this reality is so dense, because we're on the densest. And when I say dense, I don't mean the lowest in vibration. I mean the densest in the way of compression. And because there's actually the second and first dimensions below the third, which are different again. And so this third dimensional compressed version of reality that we're inside of is the microcosm of the macrocosm. So here you have a planetary body that actually has the whole universe represented on one planetary body. It's just an amazing, amazing creation.
That's an understatement to be sure.
Yeah.
It does seem, too, that we're replaying certain cosmic dramas in the Atlantic, the Atlantis play that was taken over by the forces of limitation, let's say. And same thing with the Egyptian play and the pyramidal structures and so on and so forth. Are we now in integrating all of these different manifestations that reached a certain point? Did they ascend in their own right? Or are these kind of dramas that have replayed and replayed, and now is the grand finale drama in which we incorporate all of these different plays that have taken place and these different dramas and galactic wars and so on and so forth?
Yeah, that's right. It has been a massive drama, and now is the grand moment where everything becomes integrated, where everything is brought back into zero point, and balance is reestablished. And all these other previous epochs and eras that you just mentioned, they didn't reach a pinnacle. They began as a pinnacle and slowly descended because this planet has been on the path of descent for a very, very, very long time. And it's interesting you should bring that subject up, because when you look back at all the ancient writings and the ancient philosophies and the way people went about doing things to attain spiritual awareness, or for want of a better term, to reach a very high level of spirituality, or even to reach an ascended state, when they were doing these processes, you know, thousands of years ago and over 10,000 years ago, those philosophies were applicable to that era. And what I've come to discover in my life's journey is that those philosophies are what we all engaged in a long time ago. And what they do, especially when you do it through the chakra body and the pineal gland, that version of enlightenment, which is what we know from ancient texts, right, is actually achieves a fourth dimensional cosmic mind version of enlightenment, because the pineal gland is situated in the brain and the mind. It is not in the heart. And what I've come to know is that the true version of enlightenment, to get to the real universal level of enlightenment, one needs to go through the heart. So we've got to go beyond the chakra body. And that was really big revelation for me. Like that was pretty big. And to understand that the chakra body is not the ultimate. If people think the chakra body is it, then that's what they will achieve. They will achieve fourth dimensional cosmic mind level of enlightenment. They're not going to get the real enlightenment happening. Right. So I know that from my personal journey, because in times in the previous cycles and eras and epochs, I did that other version of enlightenment, and now I'm here to achieve the full-blown version of enlightenment, which is through the heart.
Exactly. It's funny, too, because I was just in a teleclass on the Internet with Carmen Bolter, who's in Egypt, and Robert Boval, who's done quite a bit of research as well, and they were talking about the corruption and the degradation of the information from the Egyptian pyramids. And it's funny that you should mention that the chakra body is part of an old paradigm, and the pineal gland, I was looking at these pictographs of the Egyptians with the snake coming out of the third eye, and it occurs to me that this is old technology. The reptilian brain is part of the brain, and the Egyptians used to weigh the body, and they'd discard the brain, and they'd weigh the heart. The heart was the only thing that worth keeping. I think you really are calling it right that we are transcending all of these old things. Even the New Age has come up with, oh, well, they're not just seven chakras, they're 12 chakras, and then they expand it out into the galactic chakra, and then the one below the feet is something, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it still feels to me that this is old technology, that we really need to go beyond all of this stuff.
Well, you know, I can get really down and dirty and tell you how it all links up. I mean, the chakra body.
Down and dirty is good, if you like.
Yeah, well, this is some pretty big stuff. I mean, the chakra body is linked to Saturn.
Oh, I want to get more into that.
You know, well, yes. And I've had some really big personal experiences with that Saturn energy of late too. So I'm going through the process of breaking free from that. See, I'm moving beyond the rainbow body. The rainbow body is the is kind of like the version that has been. It's got a beautiful marketing campaign behind it. It's all up in lights. It's all razzle dazzle. It's all about blissing out, and it's a very, very clever program that our good old buddy and mate, Mr. Jehovah, as you know, on one version of his cosmic consciousness, and he's manifested himself as the planet Saturn in this cosmic drama that we're involved in here, and he's created an energetic system to assimilate people into its synthetic light paradigm. And that's what I was trying to explain to people before. When you've been deprived of love, when you've been plunged into such a deep negative charge for so long, and then that is the problem that has been created. So we're looking at problem, reaction, solution here. The reaction is we're crying out for love, we're crying out for freedom, and this being comes along and creates this razzle dazzle body, calling it the rainbow body. It's, and when you really look at it, it's a fragmented state of being. It's not, it is. Because when I went into the fifth dimension in this lifetime, the embodiment that I have there is a single energetic center in the middle of the chest. And when I project myself down into the lower domains of the universe from there, then my energetic center fragments into multiple energetic centers. So the so-called rainbow body is not enlightenment. It's a much bigger playing arena than the one we have here. It's far more stimulating than what we've been experiencing in the last eras and epochs here on this planet, but it is designed that way. So then you can be introduced or, I would say, assimilated into that structure, and then it would feel very stimulating, very freeing, and very liberating, because that was the plan all along. So that is the solution that these energies want to implement to the problem that they have created by plunging us into such a deep negative charge. Now, you know, and you've got to look at Saturn too. I mean, each one of the rings, you look at the A, B, C, D, E, F, and G ring. You know, it's the musical scale. And it's, yeah, and each one is coordinated with each of the chakras. And this and what it's doing is it's using harmonic leverage to control and influence the solar system. And the whole thing has been revealed. I mean, if you look at the work of Santo Bonacci, he shows, he's come across some fantastic information, and it reveals the I would say the deep secrets of astrotheology, of how the whole structure that has been created within our solar system in the past few eras, and the way it's been locked into our bodies, and the way we've been locked into a particular time frame, and under the influence of Saturn, it's all there. And it is what the church is functioning from. It is the same energy, the same energetic patterns. And Saturn equates with the crown chakra. He sees himself as top dog. He's the man. And he's been trying to take control of the solar system from the sun for a very, very long time. And if you can look at planets as people, if you can look at stars as people, if you can look at star systems as people and galaxies as people, then your whole paradigm just blows wide open, because we are planets, we are stars, and we are galaxies. They are all individual living beings with individual personalities. And when you look at this from a much larger perspective, the whole thing becomes really clear.
Oh yes, no question about that. I've had a feeling for some time that Saturn has to do with the entrapment of consciousness in matter, that it has something to do with the slowing down of time to capture matter, and then with the five senses being the ones that we're forced to use and encouraged to engage with, that slowly the other 355 senses are degraded, and we're not as capable of connecting with our own source within due to, well, a number of things. We're assaulted on every level by these other frequencies that are being used to control artificial intelligence from the various planets, fluoride in the water, radiation, chemtrails, assaults from television, radio, and media. So we're really, they're really doing a good job as our hired help. Now, what does the Creator have to say about Jehovah's renegade program here? It's obviously not renegade, but doesn't the Creator get a chance to step in? I guess you kind of addressed that in the previous show about not engaging in the actual actions, because once you reach into engage in the creation, you are subject to being degraded by it yourself.
Yeah, well, the process that the Creator is using is, if you look at this, the solar system, and who is the solar system? Mm-hmm. So the solar system is the consciousness of the sun. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, so who is the consciousness of the sun? And, you know, we are inside that body, that solar embodiment. We are within the embodiment of the solar system. And when one rekindles one's relationship with the reality they have chosen to, have such a deep and intimate relationship with and be in a symbiotic co-creative process with, then you come to realize that, hang on, the consciousness of our sun is actually a masculine expression of the universal creator itself directly. Mm-hmm. And you think, crikey. And, you know, you're incarnated. on the feminine aspect of the creator directly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the twin flames of the masculine and the feminine being the sun and the earth. And then you have all these other planetary systems that are within our solar system that have been, from a much higher level of awareness, have been contracted to come here to play their role
mm-hmm.
in this drama, in this cosmic drama that we're a part of, for the purpose of facilitating a set of experiences which will see us re-attain balance, mm-hmm. bringing everything back into balance.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to create a very intense environment for us to be able to do that. And the form that we call human that has been created here, because it is a godly being of godly mind, is the intentions of the creation here, then it needed, the human form needed to be tested to the nth degree. And we have been. We've got everything being thrown at us from every angle possible. I mean, this Saturnian energy has not left the stone unturned.
Yep.
It has come at us from everywhere, like you mentioned, whether it's technology, whether it's food, yep. whether it's spiritual philosophies, cultural philosophies, water, yep. You know, the manipulation of the Earth's ley lines, the grids,
yep.
the medicines, the everything, absolutely everything,
everything
has been
yep.
thrown at us.
Yep.
And here we are, Lance, and we're still getting through it, mate. And
yep.
so the
yeah.
the way the masculine energy is dealing with this is to reclaim sovereignty. It's now saying to Saturn, hey, buddy, this is my body. You and I had an agreement. You were going to come here, facilitate this, test everybody to the nth degree. But what's happened is Saturn has become self-deluded
uh-huh.
and has become addicted to feeding off the people. It's addicted to its role. It's like, think of it like an actor playing an acting role in a movie
mm.
and not being able to get out of character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, being
yeah.
stuck in that.
Yep.
It becomes addicted to that. And that's what's happened to the Jehovian Saturn consciousness. And it's unfortunate. So we have to, and in a way, it's kind of a good thing because, I mean, it's achieving maximum compression here to get everything
yeah.
back to zero point.
Yeah.
So you've got this really beautiful universal consciousness, our light that's rising up from within us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this other energy that's pushing it back down.
Yeah.
So right at the very end of the process, it's creating maximum compression and forcing everything back into zero point. So it's playing a very, very important role. But the way about it, the way to free yourself from it is to reclaim sovereignty. So the
yep.
sun is saying to Saturn, hey, buddy, you've forgotten this is my body, my embodiment. You're actually a guest here. Stop trying to, you know, take control of everything. You don't own everything because that's what he thinks. Saturn thinks he owns everything and he has a right to everything. And it's just about reclaiming sovereignty. And that's
yeah.
the way the sun's going about it. And that's all what we need to do is reclaim our sovereignty over our beingness.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that kind of brought up some images of the Matrix trilogy where towards the end, the light simply breaks up from within and destroys the artificial paradigms that we're trying to control and take over, which it seems like a very accurate depiction of what's going on here, that we have to believe that there's a possibility that that will occur for this to be a real feeling game. And it does.
Oh, we don't even have to believe it. Sorry to cut in there,
right.
Lance, but
yeah.
it's a very good point that you just made because
yeah.
you are a star seed. I'm a
yeah.
star seed.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? It doesn't just mean we come from the stars. It means we are here to turn this planet into a star, to turn us into a stars. We're bringing our star light into this reality. So we're the ones that have injected ourselves. Think of us as a good virus.
Mm,
that's been
mm-hmm.
injected into this reality to transform it from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. So all anybody like you and I and anybody who's listening to this, all we need to do is just be authentic, is just
mm-hmm.
be who we truly are. And when the more we do that, the more we activate our internal light and the more we transform this reality from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. absolutely. And that kind of gets into the paradox of choice again, that technically if we choose the high road, the lower road begins to disappear, but at a higher level, beyond the fifth level, the fifth dimension or density and beyond, there is no choice because that's the higher self slash source creation.
Yeah, that's right. Ultimately, there is no choice. But we can still enjoy our egos sometimes like to have the appearance as though it's got choice.
Oh, look what I did, and I pull out a plum. Yeah. I like what you say, too, about the moon being a control system for the divine feminine, or the feminine here, and that it was literally brought into orbit. That makes so much more sense to me than because the moon doesn't ever change its face. It always has its false face in front of us, and it's just perfectly aligned with solar eclipses and the rest of it. And we never get to see the dark side or the other side of the moon. Do you feel like going a little bit into that at all, or?
Sure. I mean, the moon is spinning on its axis. People think it doesn't spin, but it must do.
It has to.
Otherwise, it can't maintain. If it didn't spin, then all sides would be seen.
Right.
as it moves around.
Yeah.
So it does spin on its axis, but it does it so perfectly.
Yes.
We only ever see one side of it. And even after 1,000 years, you still see one side of it. I mean, it's just been created. It's been set up.
Well, about 6,000 years ago, according to what you were saying in the video.
It's about 6,000 years. I don't see anywhere the evidence of the moon existing prior to that. And even there are so many references to the time before the moon, not only in the Bible, but there's so many other references in ancient scripts and teachings of the time before the moon. There's many, and I don't have it right in front of me, but a friend of mine sent me a list of all the references of the time before the moon. There's a whole page full of references. So, and yes, it is in the Bible of the time before the moon, but you won't get it in the modern day King James Version. Have to go back to the Aramaic, and you'll see it there because it was conveniently lost in translation.
Yeah, how convenient.
And so the moon does act as a ball and chain around the feminine. I mean, originally it was used to seed life. It was built by the Pleiadians, and it was a beautiful, beautiful vessel, and it was a real beacon of life in our cosmos, and especially in this galaxy. Mm. And the Pleiadians built it to seed life. It's just amazing. It had its own ecosystem, and there were so many of us. I remember at one stage being involved with it, and we worked on, there were so many different beings working on many, many different levels, be it on the ethereal level, be it on the astral level, be it on the physical planes. And it was amazing that because when you seed life somewhere, there's a lot involved. I mean, you look at our natural kingdom, people probably don't realize just how much work has gone into creating such a domain. It's incredible, because you've also got to know what the soul contracts is of all the beings that are ever going to experience that reality.
Oh, yeah.
Because whatever you set up, you've got to know which direction it's going to head in. So down the track, then you know how it's going to, facilitate this set of experiences someone wants in a million years from the moment you're putting something together. Maybe, a few billion years from the moment you're putting something together. So someone like myself comes along and wants an incarnational experience on that reality 4 billion years down the track from the time that you're setting up a planetary system, Lance, then you have to be in connection with the universal creative process. You also have to be in connection with my soul.
Right.
To set things up so it can be exactly how I want it to be in 4 billion years from the moment you seed something.
So the outcome is known.
it's massive. The amount of knowledge, the amount of processing, the amount of work, the depths that we function on to set our reality up, the magnitude of it is mind-boggling. when you really, really start to grasp the concepts and the reality behind it. Not some intellectual notion of it, but to actually really grasp it for real.
Are there vast teams of creator gods such as ourselves and that plan this all out to the nth degree, and is there room for things to go awry? And another question is...
good question. Can I answer that one first?
Yes, go ahead. Let's go there.
Because that's a big one you just asked.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, there are teams. Every reality's got teams. Every galaxy, every star system has its teams of co-creator beings. It's count. You know, you've got management councils. You have, because you've got all these different levels of life. I mean, if you look at ours, you've got the natural environment, and even within that, you've got your plant kingdoms and your aquatic kingdoms, you have your insect kingdoms, and even within that you've got, hierarchies and different levels of realities and interactions and infrastructure. So it's a massive, massive process. It's not so straightforward. Like I said, the way this universal creator functions and the way we do as universal creators with our own universes is we use a co-creative process. It's an involved process. It's a participatory process, and it needs to be that way because that's how beings learn. That's how beings gain wisdom through their co-creative experiences. And it's so yes, the answer to that question is yes. Is there room for things to go awry? In the lower energetic patterns, there is. Because the parts of us, see, we function in a multidimensional format, so from the higher levels, there's no room because everything is set. Everything is created from up there.
Right.
And that in the lower domains, that's how it will be. Now, the parts of us that we project from up there down into that arena where we are having a more dense and more physical and more involved process down in the nitty-gritties, getting down and dirty with it and getting down and enlightened with it, that is the area where is considered the drama, the cosmic drama. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, on those levels, and there's many within that, there is room for things to move and change. And a lot of people reconnect with that aspect of themselves. Like some people say to me, I was told I had to come to this planet. I'm going, no, you chose to come here. And they're like, no, they say to me, I was told. And they can't move beyond that aspect of themselves. And I'm saying, no, you know, because if someone's saying that to me, then they're just playing victim. It's just victimhood.
Right.
And they're not getting in touch with their greater aspect of self, because that means that they are, you know, if they think that they were forced to come here and they had no say in it, then that means they are subservient to something.
Right.
So I say to all the people that think in that way, is your spirit subservient to something? Because I know mine isn't.
Right.
You know, my essence is pure and sanctified. There is nothing that is greater than me. There is nothing that is greater than you. There is nothing that is greater than all of us. We're all infinite and eternal. So I'm not subservient to anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, responsibility for my creations and wherever I am in life. So I'm here because I've created it. All my pain, all my suffering is happening because that's what I wanted.
Yes. Yes, and I love how you share about having done it all, that you have been the darkest of the dark, and so you have done those things that which you have experienced in this lifetime as having been done to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems that it just has to be that way. You know, it's not a pleasant thing to, you know, it's not an easy thing to digest at the intellectual level, because the mind wants to weasel out of everything and it doesn't want to accept responsibility. But the fact of the matter is that at some level we have to be responsible, and we are creating this, and we are co-creating, and so it works on every level multidimensionally, as you just said.
Mm. Hear you, Lance.
Oh, thank you,
buddy.
Now, what about one of the things that I just remembered? I have some curiosity about is the Earth's tilt. It just doesn't feel that is something. It just seems like something happened or something is out of whack, that it's that the Earth is spinning around at some kind of strange degree on its axis, which is causing all these precessions and the equinox and the astrological signs. It seems like that all needs to be adjusted somehow, that it's been set up as an experience to experience all of these different aspects, but that this needs to come to an end, that the tilt needs to be corrected, whatever that means, before it can then be reintegrated into the harmonics of no tilt. Am I saying anything that resonates for you?
Everything you just said resonates with me. The reason there is the tilt there that creates a precession of the equinoxes is a function of duality. So when we want to ascend, we need to recenter ourselves. We have to find center. And so does Mother Earth. She needs to find center. And when we look at it from that point of view, then obviously that angle needs to change. Mother Earth needs to straighten up on her axis and find center again. So to me, that is what's actually already begun. That straightening up has already started. People are seeing the sun rising in different places than they did before. The Arctics, both Arctic and Antarctica, the sun is rising when it's not meant to. They're having daylight when they're meant to have darkness, you know, and there's times having darkness when they're meant to be having daylight. So the whole thing is already changing in its angle, and also the poles are already shifting around, the magnetic poles.
Oh yeah.
They're moving around like crazy. I mean, the airline industry has to readjust its instruments on a regular basis, recalibrate things because it's moving around so much. And that's what's happening. Big Mama is starting to readjust herself, reposition herself, because she's finding center. She's ascending. So all the same processes we need to go through as beings, so does she as a planetary being.
It seems that there might be a period after 2012, between 2012 and the first equinox in 2013, I think you mentioned this, that she will literally sit up and take notice that her body, maybe this is the etheric body, will sit up and correct herself, and that the moon, the influence of the moon, the gravitational pull and the restrictions that have been set up through the moon will be removed. Is that something that is a pie in the sky, literally?
No, for me, that's a reality, what needs to happen, because the energetic vibrations that just simply emanate from the Earth, these new vibrations that are coming from within us and from within the subatomic level of us and the subatomic level of the Earth, I mean, we're turning inside out. And so we're transforming from the inside out. And that energy that we're expressing, that is emanating from the Earth now, is actually detrimental to the moon in its current state and the beings that live in the moon. Mm-hmm. It is bad for them. That vibrational energy is detrimental to them and is, in fact, harmful for them, for their way of life, for their state of being. And all the interactions that I've had personally with to do with the moon and the beings on the moon, they have to be relocated. They cannot stay around the Earth because the light in the near future that is going to be emanating from this body will actually harm them greatly. So that moon has to be taken out of here.
It seems that the force of Jehovah and the Saturnian control paradigms, do they get to evolve at some point? I mean, is Jehovah just insane with power? And it seems that there's such a psychopathic element here that is just completely destructive of all organic life. Is there a correction in store for Jehovah after all these eons of controlling and enjoying and pulling the power out of our life force?
Sure, there's other beings that are lighting themselves up to step up to the mantle, and eventually that being will learn and move on. At this point in time in the evolution of our universe, he's probably the best at it. I mean, he's the guy that is the most arrogant, is the most self-deluded. I mean, he's claiming to be the creator god of all things and all of creation everywhere on all levels of life. And it's that aspect of him is self-deluded. Now, when we meet this being on the high levels, he's a great guy. We love him. He's one of us. He loves us. There's, you know, don't forget, we're just commenting on the lower aspect
of
one of our brothers and sisters in the true light,
who
are playing and facilitating this incredible role for us. So,
yeah, that's right.
And ultimately, he's working in conjunction with the Creator.
Right, right. Yeah, it's so easy to forget that and to slip into the mask that we wear. But when the mask comes off, we're all great friends, ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. so I'm really grateful for him. It's just that, you know, I don't have to like his lower aspects.
Right, exactly. And we
ultimately,
don't have to...
I love the being, but I don't have to like who he is down here.
right, because it's pretty snaky down here. It is a pretty nasty place in some ways for the lower aspects of ourselves to experience.
Oh, his self-righteousness is just
disgusting. Oh, yeah. Oh, no kidding. No kidding. And the Vatican and the various forces that have engendered control here, you know, the religions and the rest of it, it's just so smarmy. It just seems that people would be clearly disillusioned by now and start waking up and just stop feeding that whole mechanism that is controlling.
It's still, the numbers are quite small, even though it's changing rapidly day by day. The numbers are still quite small, but that's all that's required at this stage. So watch this thing rapidly change, especially because this reality is changing. The controlling energetic patterns are finding it really hard to hold on. It's kind of like, you know, a hole in the dike, and you plug it with your finger, and then there's another hole, and you plug it there, and then there's another hole appears, and you plug it there, and you know, they can only do that for so long, and the whole thing's just going to go boof.
Yeah.
And it's going to give, and everything's going to transform really quite rapidly and quite quickly. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out process that most people think it's going to be. That's just not how, you know, the dark behaves. It's not what's happening. I mean, they're trying to push down the clamps as much as they can for as long as they can, because they've never, ever, ever had a feed energetically is the way they're feeding now. So they're going to milk this for all it's worth.
Yeah, because some people talk about, you know, after 2013 and on into 2017 and 2020. I just can't see, you know, intuitively and psychically, I can't see into those dates. I can't see beyond 2013 for sure. But even 2012 seems like it's iffy.
Well, it's interesting because when I was doing my talks last year, touring around the world, I would say to people, put up your hands, anybody who can feel and see into next year, and you might get 1 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the most we got was about 12 out of 100 putting their hands up, but nobody else could. And I'm like, well, I can't. All my friends can't. We couldn't see into next year. Only now do I have a bit of a feeling of I got some sort of plans for next year, but even those, in the process of planning them, I've got this underlying sense that that might not actually happen.
Right.
So it's kind of like, make sure that whatever you plan for this year is open for change. Like, don't set anything firm, because if there's an energetic pattern that is more prevalent than anything right now, it's change. Change. So get ready for change.
Yeah.
And when you can embrace change, then you can just, you know, like you said in your book so wonderfully, to be like a tree that bends in the breeze, or to be like that seaweed that flows backwards and forwards with the ebbs and the flows of the tide. I mean, it's just brilliant. And crikey, Lance, that book, mate, really, what a fantastic book. And I recommend anybody to read Lance's book. And I've got to say that we need to ebb and flow. We really do need to ebb and flow with the way this reality is changing.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, because you know how it is with a book. It gets put out there, and then it just kind of disappears. So I appreciate that you've read it and that you enjoyed it.
I haven't read the whole book yet,
well,
but I'm in the process
to.
Cynthia's read the book from start to finish. I'm not much of a reader personally, but I'm in the process of reading it, and Cynthia's been reading bits out to me, and we've been really enjoying it. So,
wonderful.
You know, I'm going to get my teeth into it personally, and I got to say that the things that you've shared in that book, I recommend everybody to read it, and just from the heartfelt authenticity, you're coming from the heart, and your life's experiences has just amazed us, Lance. You really, you know, because I'm a person who comments on my life's experiences, and I must say you are too. You're not coming from just the intellectual process.
No, I mean, it seems like we came here to do this, so what's the point of hiding and masking and stuffing and the rest of it? You know, it's time to let this stuff up and out. Our own experience is really important. And being authentic, which is what you are and what you talk about and what you encourage us to do, is really the only thing there is to do. You know, be yourself. And stop looking for gurus and the violet flame and the purple flame and this flame and that flame. It's all within us. And that's one of the most beautiful things of your message, George, is that you encourage us to go, to not go within, we are within, but to bring our light out.
Yeah, shine your light.
Shine
be the star seed. be the star seed that you truly are.
Exactly. Well, I honestly don't know how much time we have left. I think we're at the end of the show or the end of the hour. But feel free to share any closing thoughts that you'd like to with us and mention your website once again, because I really want everybody to get your message and to become Georgeites. After I told everybody, don't follow anybody.
Yeah, well, that's exactly against my ethos.
I know. Me too.
I really appreciate the concept you were trying to share there. For me, I don't want followers,
right.
But it's really important that we take into consideration what people have to say. So I ask people, please consider what I say, and seriously consider. And I know personally that if you do consider, because I'm getting feedback from people around me and all over the world, if you do seriously take into consideration the things that I'm sharing with you, and you do go within, you will see for yourself, the proof will be within you, and then your life just transforms all around you. It does. And you will get to see exactly how many programs you're running, what programs you're running.
Yep.
Because when you get to the raw core essence of energy of this universe and who and what we are, then it goes beyond all the layers of illusions, of lies, of programs, of belief systems. And the more you delve into this work and this information, the more you're going to realize just how programmed you are. And I'm still working through mine.
Yeah,
and so I'm not coming from a place of elitism or self-righteousness. I'm constantly working on myself. So please understand that there is a reality that's deep inside each and every one of us, and got to get to your core authentic self.
Well, beautifully said, George. Thank you so much for being with us today again. And I look forward to our last chat. Well, it won't be our last, but the third in this series. And I guess that's a wrap for today.
Okay, Lance. Well, thank you, my dear spiritual brother.
Right.
I much appreciate our working together once again.
Yes.
We've done this before somewhere else.
Yes, always, definitely. There's no question about it. This all feels like it's scripted. You know, there are moments when I just feel like the lines are just being delivered, you know, through this body, and they've already been written, and we're up there, you know, having a big joke and laughing and having a great old time. So there is hope around the corner, and the light is wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
All right. Thank you.
Very much.
We'll talk again soon, I know.
Yeah, we will. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.